I'd like to read just one passage of Scripture from Revelation 19, 11. John the Revelator says, "Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True." Our God is faithful and true. This is not an easy day, for sure. It is bittersweet, mixed emotions. One of the best definitions I've ever heard of mixed emotions is what happens when your mother-in-law drives over a cliff in your new Cadillac. That's mixed emotions, and so I feel those mixed emotions today. But in view of my imminent departure, I felt like it would be wise to call an audible for our time together today. Sometimes special circumstances warrant special considerations, and so we're going to push pause on our regularly scheduled sermon series and take a victory lap together as a church, just kind of looking back on where we've been and what God has done, and maybe looking ahead to what God has in store. So that being said, the message, God the Pursuer, from the major prophets in 1st and 2nd Chronicles, is going to be available to you online, and I'm sure you're going to want to take advantage of Pastor Derek's labors as well as his insights. So I wanted today to be a time to just kind of remember and reflect and rejoice. Remember God's faithfulness, reflect on His goodness, and rejoice in His providence. 5 years ago this month, God made it very clear to me that I was to resign my position as pastor of Emmaus Church in Whitewater, Kansas. Now, it's one thing to resign a position when you have something else lined up, and it's quite another to resign a position when you have nothing else lined up. So God was calling me to let go of the trapeze. He was calling me to preach a message by example. That is, what it looks like to walk by faith and not by sight. Here I am married, living in the church parsonage with two boys, having no idea how long they're going to let me stay in the church parsonage. You know, it's never a good sign when they change the locks on the parsonage, right? You just don't know. Not having anything lined up at all. I wasn't talking to any other churches. I didn't have any hooks in the water, so to speak. And so that's kind of what you call flying without a net. You know, this past Tuesday morning, I received a call from a man that I've grown close to over the past few years, even though I've never met this man at all. His name is Bill Loveless, and he lives in San Antonio, Texas. He reached out to me through mutual friends we have through a ministry called Torchbearers, a Bible teaching ministry that's international in scope. And so after getting my contact information a while back, he reached out to me. And this man loves the Lord Jesus, he loves the church, and has a special love for pastors. And so it's not uncommon for him to send me a text message on Sunday morning just to give me an encouraging word. Like this one, for instance, that he said last month. He said, "Good morning, Steve. I'm praying for you this morning that your people do not see a pastor or a teacher. Rather, first and foremost, they see a lover of God and a lover of people. May they experience the immeasurable, unconditional, inexhaustible love of God through you today, my friend. Amen." And then he says, "Is there anything I can be praying for you about?" I mean, who does this? I have never met this man, yet he has taken an interest in me. He is personally invested in me, and he is setting time aside from his own Sunday morning preparations to encourage a co-laborer in Christ. And God has used his text messages time and time again to help me get my head screwed on straight on Sunday morning when there's a million things, it seems like, that are going on. So Bill calls Tuesday and he asked me if my ears were burning because he had been talking to one of our mutual friends about me. And so I brought him up to speed on some of the things that God has been doing recently in my life. And he shared a story about the time that God was calling him to leave Dallas and move to San Antonio. Now, Bill had worked as a commercial contractor, and so when he moves forward, he wants a detailed plan. He wants a blueprint. Well, God didn't have a blueprint for Bill. He had two words, and those two words were, "I am." And with those two words, God confirmed his will for Bill's life and his family. And so all the assurance that they would ever need would be found in those two words, "I am." That was God's way of saying, "I will always be who I have always been." God has always been faithful and true. And he will always be faithful and true. The God who lives in the eternal now, the I am, not I was or I will be, but the God who says I am, will always be whatever we need him to be in that moment. So back to that second Sunday of February 2013 when I stood before the church and led my letter of resignation without knowing where I was going. You're not going to believe this because I didn't believe it either, but that very same day, I received an email message just a few hours later from Sarah Bishop, who attended Fellowship Baptist Church in Olathe, Kansas. She was on the search committee and asked me the question, are you still available and interested? Talk about something coming from out of nowhere. I had no idea who these people were, how they got my resume, because I hadn't sent any resumes out. I didn't even know where Olathe, Kansas was. But I knew immediately that there had to be something more to this than just mere coincidence. And with that email, the journey began. 5 months later, I accepted the call to serve the Fellowship Baptist Church family as their pastor. But I must say, I had some serious reservations. At that time, attendance had dropped dramatically. The church had hemorrhaged lots of people. They had gotten down to about 68 people attending worship. And the only baby that I can remember in the nursery was Jesse Bishop. That was it. The church wasn't exactly pulsating with life. Classrooms were largely empty. Children and student ministries were hanging by a thread. Young families were not being reached. The building was dated. There was a lot of deferred maintenance. And so in many ways, it felt like the church was circling the drain, right? I mean, they were just kind of holding on for dear life. And so I had no interest in doing a funeral for a church. I'd never done that before. Didn't want that on my resume. That's never a good sign. And so the big question in my mind was whether or not Fellowship Baptist Church was going to be viable going forward. So when I came on one condition, that everything was going to have to be on the table. I'm talking staff and budget and ministries and policies, everything on the table. And so the elders and the church body agreed. They said, Pastor, we believe God has called you here to lead us. And so I said, okay, well, little did I know that everything on the table would mean giving up everything to another church through a merger relationship. And so although the Lord started bringing new families in immediately after my arrival, like the Pragels and the Kepises, and both of which Kevin and Jen ended up serving on staff, I knew that we were a long way from reaching critical mass. And so I started thinking outside the box, and I wondered if there might be a way for us to link arms with a like-minded church in our area so that we could try to build a little momentum for ministry. And so I pitched the idea to an area pastor about maybe seeing if he would allow us to work with some of his families for a year or so just to kind of get our legs underneath us, and he was not interested in that. So unbeknownst to me, during this same time period, Chris Smith, Kim Maples, and Mike Jones, who was serving as our mission pastor at the time, were thinking along the same lines. What if we could work together with another like-minded church? And in God's time, we were all made aware that we were in agreement about something we had never discussed before. I mean, how incredible is that? So we reached out to Donnie Simpson. Within a few hours of Pastor Derek reaching out to Donnie Simpson. And so we were looking for a ministry partner to help us reach Olathe, and Blue Valley was looking for a ministry opportunity in Olathe. And so within 24 hours, God connected the dots. Donnie arranged a meeting at K-Macho. Pastor Derek was there, Jim Feller was there, Chris Smith was there, and I was there. And having a good sense about the prospect of working together, we decided to meet again the very next week. And having another good sense about moving forward, the rest is, as they say, history. So within a time frame of 3 months, we went from the conception phase to implementation phase without a single no vote. Now keep in mind, I had only been at the helm here at Fellowship for a few short months. And so for a church family to tie into a pastor that quickly is nothing short of miraculous. That just doesn't happen. And so God had given us an incredible amount of favor. Now, I knew that going into this merger, I might not be the right fit. And so I was fully prepared to accept another assignment, even if it meant moving the family again, because at the end of the day, I wanted what was best for the church, because I was confident that God would take care of our family's future. But thoughts of me finding another church were put to rest in short order after it became clear that a merger proposal that did not include me serving in a pastoral role would be a deal breaker. And so that decision for me and for my family was a huge source of comfort, of relief, of encouragement. To this day, I remain humbled by the support and the confidence I received in those early days. Only later did I learn that Pastor Darren had been identified to serve as the new campus pastor once Blue Valley launched a second campus in Olathe. And as Pastor Derek shared in his most recent EDove article, when our staff became convinced in 2013 that Blue Valley's future was a multi-site future, the initial plan was to send out a group with Darren to Olathe to start a second campus, a plan he enthusiastically embraced. However, when God showed us that our path to a second campus would involve a merger and the calling of Pastor Steve as a result, Pastor Darren was willing to step aside and agreed that it was not his time to step into a campus pastor role. The elders believe that Steve's transition away represents God's timing to finally transition Darren into this new role. I knew from the beginning that God had called me to lead fellowship through the merger process. I believe with all my heart that I was going to be a transitional pastor, that I was going to try to facilitate that transition, and I was going to try to cement the marriage between the two churches. And let me just tell you, things could not have gone any smoother. The Lord has been so gracious to help us navigate these uncharted waters. And so from day one, I was convinced that it was just a matter of time before God would lead me back into a lead role at some point in the future. Because by nature, a pastor is called to lead. But there were some things that God needed to put into my leadership toolbox before I was ready to step back into a lead role again. And so over the past 4 years, I've had the distinct privilege of working with some of the best and brightest ministry colleagues of my entire life. And it has been an incredibly enriching experience. And our Blue Valley family has been so, so good to us. In 19 years of pastoral ministry, this is the first time we are leaving a church without being traumatized by the pain of toxic church politics. Church people can be mean. I know some. Trust me. Ministry PTSD is real, let me tell you. But because of your love for the Lord, because of your love for the church, because of your love for me and for my family, God is sending us to First Baptist Church of Basser from a place of wholeness, from a place of feeling complete and feeling loved. There's a sense of well-being. One of the elders at Basser is an older man named Rex Molson, and they've been through some trying times in recent months. But he said to my wife, we're going to need a lot of love. And she said, well, we have a lot of love to give. And the love that we have to give is the love of God that has been lavished upon us through you. So I just want to say, on behalf of my entire family, thank you. Hands down, Blue Valley Baptist Church has been the best place that we have ever served. It has been the most loving church family we have ever been a part of. I've been asked if I was leaving because I was unhappy. I said, heaven no, this is the happiest we have ever been. And the reason it's so hard to leave is because you are so easy to love. There's not a bad one in the bunch. And if it were up to me, I would take all of you with me. But let me tell you this, God has you right where you are to make a difference for such a time as this. I know that God is going to continue to do great things right here in the days to come. And I know that he's going to use Pastor Darren to love you and to serve you and to teach you and to lead you to make a real difference in this community by making much of Christ. And I know that if you will love and support and pray for and encourage him the same way that you've loved, supported, prayed for, and encouraged me, then he is going to do very well, and your future is going to be very bright. I've been asked if I was leaving because I was getting a promotion or perhaps a pay raise. Well, I don't know that having more responsibility with less staff and fewer resources and a cut in salary and benefits is necessarily considered a promotion by most, but I will tell you this, whenever we follow Jesus, wherever he leads, that is a promotion. Amen. Trust me when I say we love it here. Trust me when I say it has never, ever been better for us. And there's a big part of me that wants to stay right here. You know why? Because it is really, really good. I'm no dummy. I've been in some jacked up churches. And this is not one of them. And I love myself. I love comfort and safety. And I love it when people love me. That's a wonderful thing. But as Tom Lear said to me a few days ago, there's a time in life when it's okay to do what you want to do. But there comes a time when it's time for you to do what you were meant to do. And I must do what I am meant to do. That time has come for me and for my family. And just know that our leaving has nothing at all to do with you. It has everything to do with God's will. Like that great theologian Whitney Houston once sang, if I should stay, I would only be in the way. But I will always love you. What'd you say? I know she wrote it, but Whitney sang it better, I think. But anyway, that's the Motown coming out in me. So, as much as it hurts some of you for us to leave now, I know you wouldn't have it any other way, because the will of God has been made clear. And we know this God to be faithful and true. And we must remember this, that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is not built around a personality. It's built around a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I will build my church. If you're not more dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ today than you were 4 years ago, then I have failed miserably as a pastor. And I will say this to you, you deserve better. But I am confident that you will continue to look to Christ, the one who is faithful and true, in the days to come. And I am equally confident that you will continue to follow God's will for your life, just as we are following God's will for ours. God is far from being finished with us. He is strategically positioning his resources to accomplish kingdom purposes. When this campus launched 3 years ago, God raised up 200 people from the Antioch campus who came to this campus, along with the former fellowship people, as part of a new work on a newly renovated campus. And since that launch 3 years ago, we have seen God add 107 new members to our church family, 30 of those by way of baptism right here on this campus. A young couples class that was virtually non-existent when we arrived is now thriving. And as of this past Monday, Jen Kepis informed us that we could have as many as 9 babies in the nursery this year. Good work, young couples, and glory to God in the highest. Moreover, we have seen God put together a site team that is doing some amazing things at Rolling Ridge. Well, the Moreras, the Vaughns, the Mosiers, the Hansons, the Kincaids, the Glens, and other people have given us a front row seat, seeing God at work in that place in the lives of children and families. There were 7 men who showed up last month for the very first breakfast and Bible study, and one of those men we were able to have a substantial gospel conversation with. Adam Bailey, who basically has been with us on this campus from the beginning, is now providing ministry staff support, not only at Rolling Ridge, but also for the Lewisburg mission. In addition, God is calling Thomas and Savannah Lear to be a part of the Lewisburg launch. What does this mean? It means that the Ridgeview campus of Blue Valley Baptist Churches is now doing in other places what God has been doing right here for these past 3 years. Church, that is something to celebrate. I'm excited to see what the Lord has in store through the faithful, caring, and wise leadership of Pastor Darren. From the start, I've been impressed with his heart for God, his love for people. Darren has become a friend that I love and that I respect. And like you, he is stepping out in faith. And in the months ahead, it's going to feel like you're kind of on a flying trapeze and you're getting ready to let go of a sure thing to reach out for the next thing. And in between trapezes, it's going to feel like you have both feet planted firmly in midair. You may find this hard to believe, but being between trapezes is one of the safest places that we could ever be. Why? Because faith flourishes in the air of uncertainty. It will be helpful to remember that we are where we are because this is where God wants us to be. God has brought us to this place for such a time as this. And I can assure you that what has come to pass was not the brainchild of a few guys from Fellowship and a few guys from Blue Valley meeting over Mexican food, thinking outside the box, coming up with our own master plan. We are where we are because of the master's plan. God has brought us to this place. And at this point, I don't know how things could be any clearer. But even with all that we have seen God do over the last few years, and even with all of these pieces coming together and the confirmation that we've had, we would still all agree that there are a lot of things that we don't know. There's still an element of uncertainty. On the shores of the Red Sea, the Israelites could not see what was in the distance. But God gave Moses a simple command. He said, tell the children of Israel to go forward. C.H. McIntosh said this, God never gives guidance for two steps at a time. I must take one step, and then I get light for the next. And this keeps the heart in abiding dependence upon God. And when Moses' leadership came to an end, God raised up his servant Joshua. And over, God promised to be with his people through his servant Joshua in that time of transition. He said, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Joshua 1, 8 and 9 says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Do not be terrified, he says. Do not be discouraged. Why? For the Lord your God will go with you wherever you go. We can't be sure of what's going to happen down the road, but we can be sure of this. God will give us the grace that we need to take the next logical step by faith. He would not have our hearts become paralyzed by the fear of the unknown. Rather, he wants us to embrace the unknown. Why? Because the unknown, that is the incubator for faith. Were there no unknowns, there would be no need for faith. There would be no need for prayer. Perhaps no need for God. God shapes us in the vacuum of uncertainty. And God tests us in order to strengthen our faith. Why? Because the stronger our faith, the more useful we are to him. God teaches us to trust him, leading us into the unknown, uncharted waters. So we can rest assured that God means for us to be right where we are. We are here by his appointment. We are here in his keeping. We are here under his training, and we are here for his glory. This means that if we will walk by faith in a spirit of love and in a posture of prayer that is absolute childlike dependence upon God and confidence in God, he will come through for us. He will make himself known. And that's why we're here. The prophet Malachi, God says, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord will be great. It will be praised. Everything that we do has to do with making much of Christ. Not to us, O Lord, the psalmist said, not to us, but to your name be the glory. While there is still a certain heaviness that attends a transition like this, we must rest in the wise counsel of our Heavenly Father and trust ourselves to his good purposes. He is our faithful pastor, and he has promised to be with us all the way home. I glory in Christ Jesus, that he has allowed me to serve this body by proclaiming his truth and sharing his love in this place. And I'm deeply humbled by the trust that you have given to me as your campus pastor. And this trust will be treasured forever as a sacred gift. My prayer is that you would continue to seek Christ without reservation and serve him without hesitation. That you would set Jesus Christ apart in your heart as Lord. He is the shepherd of this church, and he is faithful and true. So may your hearts likewise continue to be faithful and true to the one who is faithful and true. 1 Corinthians 1, 8 and 9 says this, he will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. And finally, Acts 20:32, now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. Love you, church family. Thank you for loving us.